Picture this. You launch a marketing campaign, you spend, weeks on it. You argue over the messaging, you optimize the budget, you finally push it out into the world, and crickets. It just completely flops.
Oh, yeah. It is a brutal feeling.
It is. And if you are like most people, your brain immediately starts pointing fingers. You probably blame the channel you chose. Or maybe the ad spend was too small.
Right.
Or, maybe those creative assets just didn't stop the scroll the way you thought they would. But the reality is, according to our source material for this deep dive anyway, the failure didn't happen when you launched.
Not at all.
It didn't happen when you were designing the graphics. The failure actually happened long, long before any of that.
Yeah, it happened before a single word of copy was even drafted. I mean, campaigns almost always go quiet in this sort of invisible gap.
Invisible gap.
Yeah, it's the gap between what a business says about itself and what an audience actually needs to hear to take action. Most people, especially small and medium-sized business owners or solo marketers, they start with a basic product description.
Right.
You know, maybe they slap a percentage off discount on it and they call that a strategy they think they are ready to build.
Okay, let's unpack this because our mission for this deep dive is to figure out why the campaign brief, that document everyone completely dreads filling out, is actually the only thing that matters. We really have to stop treating it like a boring administrative task.
We really do.
Think about it like this. Most of us treat the campaign brief like a generic grocery list. Like, we need milk, bread, and some LinkedIn ads.
Yeah,
But it
exactly.
actually needs to be the architectural blueprint for a house. If your blueprint just says build a room, the plumbers and electricians are going to have to guess where the pipes and wires go.
Which never ends well.
No. By the time the drywall goes up, you have a light switch inside a shower. You can't be surprised when the whole thing shorts out.
I love that. That light switch in the shower is the perfect visual for a downstream creative failure. And yet, marketers constantly treat the brief like a simple checklist.
Like it's just prep work.
Exactly. They treat it as something you just power through as fast as possible so you can get to the real work of writing clever copy or designing beautiful visuals. But there is a massive conceptual shift we need to make here.
Which is
The brief is not the prep work. The brief is the first act of the campaign itself.
the first act. So by the time you're writing the brief, the story is already actively being told.
It has to be,
Yeah.
because every single downstream decision flows directly from how well the problem is defined in that initial document.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, we are talking about the overarching tone of the campaign, the structural layout of a landing page, which specific objection you choose to address above the fold, and even the psychological framing of your call to action.
So everything, basically.
Everything. If you start with a vague brief, you don't just end up with a vague copy, you end up with a structurally wrong campaign.
Wow, structurally wrong.
Yeah, and the terrifying part about a structurally wrong campaign is that no amount of editing can fix it. You can polish the sentences all day long, you can change the button colors, but the foundation is cracked.
I want to look in how that foundation cracks, because it usually starts with something that feels very innocent.
Relying on generic product descriptions.
Exactly. A perfect example of this is the classic high-quality, affordable service for busy professionals. I mean, we see variations of this everywhere.
It actually hurts to hear it said out loud because of how common it is, but that is not a brief. That is a placeholder. It is a spec sheet.
But wait, let me push back on this a little bit. On behalf of anyone listening who might be drafting a campaign today, isn't it just easier and honestly a bit safer to write what you actually sell?
How do you mean?
Well, let's talk about the psychology here. Marketers are terrified of alienating potential buyers. If I run a B2B software company and our platform is high quality and it is affordable and I want busy professionals to buy it, why is it so dangerous to just rely on that accurate description?
I see what you're saying.
If I cast a wide net, I catch more fish.
Right.
Why not just throw a 15% off coupon on there and call it a day?
Because casting a wide net with an accurate product description completely ignores the stakes. A spec sheet just lists what the business offers in a vacuum.
Right.
A true campaign foundation, a real blueprint, focuses entirely on what is at stake for a specific person who doesn't buy. Those are two completely different universes.
That's a great point.
When you just list features and slap a discount on it, you are asking the customer to do the incredibly hard work of figuring out why they should care. They have to translate your features into their daily life. The brief's job is to figure out why they care before the campaign even begins.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because understanding this difference, moving from a generic spec sheet to a true architectural brief, It actually changes the physics of a campaign. And it all comes down to intense audience specificity.
Let's look at how those physics change. Think about a bad brief that names an audience segment like small business owners.
Right. Super common.
Super common, but that phrase is completely weightless. Mm. It is too vast. It has no gravity. But a highly specific brief names the audience as, say, a restaurant owner running lunch service without a front of house manager.
Oh, wow. That is so specific. It almost gives you anxiety just hearing it.
Right.
You can instantly picture the absolute chaos of that environment. The owner is seating people. They're taking orders. They're apologizing for delays. They're trying to unjam the receipt printer all at the exact same time.
And notice what just happened. By naming a real segment with that level of intense behavioral specificity, you instantly generated a scene, a mood, and a problem.
Yeah, I really did.
Suddenly, everything downstream gets incredibly easy. The headline practically writes itself. The call to action has obvious, immediate stakes. You aren't just selling restaurant management software. You are selling getting through the Friday lunch rush without having a panic attack.
Which perfectly sets up the mechanism behind the day clerk audience simulation. Now, for you listening, when we talk about running an audience simulation in marketing today, we are talking about feeding inputs into a system, often predictive AI models, to see how a target demographic might respond to different messaging.
Exactly.
The fascinating detail here is that when Dayclerk runs these simulations, the quality of what comes out on the other end is almost entirely determined by the behavioral specificity in the brief.
This is a massive trap a lot of modern marketers fall into. They assume the system will fix their lazy thinking. But vague input does not get refined by a simulation. It gets amplified.
Walk me through that mechanism. Why does it get amplified instead of refined?
Think about it like giving a prompt to an AI image generator. If you type in, make a picture of a dog, the system has to guess everything else.
Like the breed, the setting.
The lighting, the mood, exactly. You might get a cartoon poodle in space or a photorealistic pit bull in an alley. The broader the prompt, the more chaotic and disconnected the output.
That makes total sense.
But if you prompt it with a wet golden retriever shaking off water in a sunny backyard, the constraints force the system to deliver something hyper-specific and usable. The same physics apply to campaign briefs, whether you are handing it to a predictive algorithm or a human creative team.
Wow, okay.
If you hand them a fuzzy generic idea, they don't magically sharpen it for you. The fuzziness just gets bigger, more sprawling, and infinitely more expensive.
That is so true. The constraints are what actually create the clarity, which brings up something that challenges a lot of traditional hard-nosed business thinking.
Oh, the emotion piece.
Yeah. Business leaders, especially in the B2B space, often view emotion in marketing as fluffy. It's soft. It's something you add on at the end of a campaign with.
Yeah.
Like a stock photo of a team smiling in a boardroom.
Right. The classic stock handshake.
Exactly. But emotional framing isn't soft at all. It's highly structural. Let's contrast two concepts here. A standard feature, like saves time, versus an emotional framing, stops you from working until midnight on quotes nobody asked for.
What's fascinating here is how clearly that illustrates the failure of feature-based campaigns. The phrase, saves time, is technically completely accurate,
yeah,
but it is also completely useless. Campaigns that describe features without naming the emotional context the buyer is in simply do not convert well. It doesn't matter how factually accurate the copy is.
Because literally every company on earth says their product saves time. It's white noise. It means nothing anymore.
And it ignores the reality of why they need to save time, but stops you from working until midnight on quotes nobody asked for. That is both accurate and deeply specific.
It really is.
It names the pain. It names the physical exhaustion. It names the exact miserable context of the buyer when they realize they desperately need your solution.
Yeah.
The difference between those two approaches is emotional framing, and this framing has to be built into the brief. You cannot add that kind of resonance in during a final copy edit. It is the load-bearing wall of your entire message.
So if we have hyper-specified the audience, like our stressed-out restaurant owner, and we have nailed down their exact emotional state, this naturally reveals their fears. I mean, if you know someone is terrified of working until midnight, you know what they are afraid of.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to how a brilliant brief actually predicts objections and identifies the true competition.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, every single audience segment carries a default set of objections around buying anything. It's human nature to resist change.
Definitely.
A brief that has done the hard work of identifying exactly who the reader is, We'll also tell you exactly what that specific reader is worried about before you even pitch them.
And without that specific brief, you are just guessing at what they're afraid of. And usually, we guess wrong.
We always guess wrong.
Right. Why? Because marketers and business owners choose to address the objections that they find most defensible. They answer the questions they want to answer rather than addressing the actual fears the audience is harboring.
It's a natural instinct to want to argue the points we know we can win on paper. Let's say you are selling a complex enterprise software.
Okay.
The buyer's real internal objection might be, I'm terrified the software will take me 6 months to learn, my team will rebel, and I'll look like a fool for buying it.
That is a very real fear.
But if your brief is vague and doesn't capture that emotional fear, you'll probably just focus your campaign on how your software has more API integrations and is 10% cheaper than the other guy.
Right, you just start listing features again.
Exactly. You're fighting a battle over price and features while the buyer is paralyzed by a fear of implementation.
Yeah.
You lose the sale because you were having two completely different conversations.
Okay, I see how crucial that is.
Yeah.
But let me challenge this on behalf of our listener, because we need to talk about the physical length and format of this document. There's a strong critique of brevity when it comes to briefs.
Oh, yeah.
But shouldn't a brief be, well, brief? I mean, the word is literally the name of the document. We're always taught to be concise in business. Nobody has time to read a 10-page manifesto. Are we saying a massive novel-length document is somehow better?
That is the eternal pushback from account managers everywhere.
Right.
But the sharp observation here is that brevity in a brief is very often just avoidance disguised as efficiency.
The illusion of efficiency. I like that.
Yes. Sometimes a tight one-page brief signals incredible clarity because the author has distilled complex thoughts perfectly. But more often than not, it signals that the hard thinking just hasn't happened yet.
I see.
When a brief is just a few quick bullet points like target audience, millennials, goal, increased sales, tone, funny, it usually means the author has completely dodged the most difficult intellectual work.
They took the easy way out.
Exactly. They haven't decided who this is actually for at a behavioral level. They haven't articulated the exact problem at this exact moment in the buyer's life. And most importantly, they haven't explained why the buyer would choose this over doing nothing.
Doing nothing. That is such a massive blind spot. Doing nothing is almost always the real competition. And it almost never shows up in a standard campaign brief. We always put our biggest corporate rival in the competitor column.
Which is a fundamental misunderstanding of buyer psychology.
Yeah.
Doing nothing is the ultimate hidden competitor. When your audience reads your campaign, they aren't usually sitting there with a spreadsheet weighing you against your biggest corporate rival.
No, they're probably just trying to get through their day.
Right. They're weighing the pain of adopting your new solution against the comfort of just keeping things exactly as they are.
It's the friction of change versus the inertia of the status quo.
Exactly. Even if their current situation is miserable, even if they are working until midnight on those quotes, it is a familiar misery.
Wow, a familiar misery.
Yeah, and learning your new system is an unknown friction. If your brief doesn't explicitly map out how your campaign is going to beat the powerful gravity of doing nothing, your campaign doesn't stand a chance.
Okay, so this brings up a massive tension, a debate worth genuinely arguing through. If brevity can be avoidance, and if intense emotional specificity makes the campaign effectively write itself, is it possible to go too far? Can you over-engineer the blueprint?
This raises an important question about the fundamental tension in all marketing. Does giving more detail always produce a better output? Or is there a tipping point where overspecification actually collapses the creative range?
Because you have two very passionate camps here.
You really do.
On one hand, you have marketers and creatives who argue that you absolutely must leave room for the campaign to surprise you. If you dictate every single emotional beat, every single objection and every structural element in the brief, you turn your creative team or your AI tools into a robot just filling in a paint-by-numbers coloring book.
Yeah, they feel boxed in.
Exactly. There's no room for serendipity or a brilliant leap of logic.
But on the other side of the debate, you have strategists who argue that precision is the entire job. They argue that the magic of creativity is completely useless if it's aimed at the wrong target. Total specification, to them, is the only way to guarantee you actually hit the mark and solve the business problem.
So what does this all mean for you? How should our listener navigate this tension when they sit down to draft their own materials tomorrow?
The most practical synthesis of this debate is that the answer changes depending entirely on your context. Are you running a single massive high-stakes campaign, like a global brand repositioning or a Super Bowl ad?
Right, the big swings.
In that case, you might need a brief that is incredibly clear on the problem, but leaves a little more room in the execution for a massive creative leap.
Because you actually have the luxury of time, budget, and a huge team to explore those wilder creative avenues.
Precisely. But if you are producing a high volume of campaigns across many different hyper-specific segments, which is the reality of what 99% of marketers are doing every day, precision is your absolute best friend.
You can't afford to be vague.
No. In high-volume, rapid-fire work, you need that extreme behavioral specificity to ensure the outputs don't all blur together into a generic feature-dumping mess. It all comes back to critical thinking. You have to deeply understand the context of what you are building to know how tightly you need to draw the blueprint.
This all boils down to knowing your audience so profoundly that your marketing stops feeling like a pitch and starts feeling like mind reading.
I love that framing.
And to help you do that, there is a concrete formula we want to leave you with, the ultimate takeaway. Before you launch your next campaign, before you spend a single dollar on ad spend or write a single line of copy, you must be able to finish this one sentence. If you are taking notes, grab a pen. Here is the formula.
Go for it.
This is for a specific person who is currently dealing with a specific situation and has already tried what they tried before us.
It sounds so deceptively simple, but try actually filling it out for your own business. This is for a specific person who is currently dealing with a specific situation and has already tried what they tried before us.
It's harder than it looks.
It really is. Getting those three variables to align perfectly takes intense focus. If you cannot finish that sentence with extreme clarity, you do not have a brief yet. You have to start there.
It is the ultimate reality check. It forces you completely out of the safe, cozy world of the spec sheet and forces you to confront the emotional stakes of the real world.
Absolutely.
And that leads me to a final thought I want to leave you with. Building on everything we've explored today, we established that doing nothing is actually your biggest competitor. But if your new hyper-specific brief perfectly maps out the audience's pain, and it perfectly captures their tendency to just sit on their hands and accept their familiar misery, does the campaign brief actually transcend being a blueprint? Does it become a mirror?
Oh, wow.
Next time you sit down to write the foundation for a campaign, ask yourself this. Are you just trying to sell a product? Or are you actively trying to shock your specific customer out of their own complacency? Until next time, thanks for taking the deep dive with us.